podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Welcome back to another season of God's Mission Here, a podcast. I'm Reverend Michael Meyer, Managing Director for the Office of National Mission. And today with me, I have the Reverend Dr. Heath Trampy, Director of Discipleship in ONM. Heath, welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be here today.
Yeah, so you're new to this position. Tell me about that. So you have not been in the discipleship for that long here.
No, I started at the beginning of December of 2024. Prior to that, I was serving in a parish in North Dakota, and I can give a little bit of background as it's helpful. I've been adapting to this new role, taking on some things that were already going on and adding some new and talking to a ton of great leaders around the Synod and honestly learning a lot more from them than they are from me, I'm sure. And just looking forward to continuing to get used to the role that I'm in now.
Yeah. So while you are new to this role, you are not new to pastoral ministry. You've served in three different areas, three different congregations. Is that correct?
Yeah. So my wife and I started as missionaries in Riga, Latvia. This was before I was ordained. And then my first congregation was a very large church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, St. Peter's. I'll talk a little bit more about that as I get into my doctoral work. That was an associate position. And then I took a call to York, Nebraska, to Faith Lutheran Church. And I was a senior pastor with a part-time associate. And then I went to Minot, North Dakota, and was a senior pastor with a full-time associate and a staff. And each role had its own unique challenges and blessings.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us about this doctoral work that you did at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Is that correct?
That is correct. So I was in the Doctor of Ministry program at Fort Wayne. And I was already serving at St. Peter's, and we were going through some targets that we were trying to hit. And one of the primary targets was getting people more involved. So we did a little bit of digging, and we used the software that we had available to us, and we found that we had about 190 to 200 people that were identified by leaders as being active outside of worship. And in a church of 2,200, that isn't a great percentage. And so I was given the blessing of the congregation working with the seminary to focus on this involvement work. So we did a number of interviews, which produced a bigger number of transcripts. And from that data, we were able to come up with some what I would call best practices for getting people more involved in the congregation. I'll just kind of mention what those are briefly now. And I'm hoping later on in this season to elaborate a little bit as it might be helpful for people who are listening in. So one of the things that we discovered is it's really important to understand how laity's expectations are being heard by the leaders of the church. So are we listening to our people and hearing what they are saying that they need? Another one is congregational identity. Although we are all Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations, we are in different communities. We are different size churches, different kinds of leadership, different histories. And so leaning into what makes your church unique and special can also be a great blessing. Congregational connections. And I always like to say I grew up in the middle of a cornfield and everybody was a cousin. And so when I went to church, I saw family and friends. And nowadays, especially in larger communities, you might walk into a church and kind of feel like an outsider the first time you go in. So being mindful of how we create connections for people was also a big part of that work. There was also a life factors variable that came up. We have a lot of people maybe about our age who are taking care of aging parents and also taking care of kids, and it can be really busy. And so when you ask somebody in that situation to help out, they're very likely to say, I don't have time or I can't right now. And being mindful that that same person might be far more available in a few years, or they might be available for something more short term, was big for us. And then finally, just to bookend with the first finding that we had, are we communicating our expectations well enough to the people of the congregation? In other words, do they really understand what we're hoping to accomplish in the future? I think sometimes there's a little bit of an assumption that people know what we want to see happen, and that's not always true. The old joke is people need to hear something five times for it to sink in. I don't know if there's any science behind that. But I do think people need to hear things very clearly and probably more than once in order for it to resonate with them. So those were the things that we discovered along the way. We started applying some of those things to our congregation. We definitely saw the needle move with our people at least in terms of their appreciation.
Yeah, you know, and I think you kind of hit on something that a lot of congregations probably struggle with, or at least I have identified as an opportunity for growth within their congregation, is encouraging that engaged laity, the engaged membership within the congregation, not just on Sunday mornings, but also in other facets of congregational life. I think back to my time in the parish and the conversations that I've had with brother pastors out in the ministry, in their congregations. And a common lament is, how can we encourage this greater involvement and engagement from their members? So that's, I think, a very, very important topic. And looking forward to, of course, the entire season unpacking those different pieces together with you, and then, of course, with guests that you're going to bring. So apply this now to this new role here, the director of discipleship. What does that look like in the synod and your role in it?
So I never had a role as a pastor that specifically called me a discipleship pastor. But I would say that looking back with the benefit of hindsight, I can see that I really was intentionally creating discipleship opportunities in the congregations where I served. So in Fort Wayne, it was a little more clear because we were doing that doctoral work together. But then my second call was to a much smaller church in a much different setting. And I had to completely adapt everything that I had learned to what I would call maybe a more traditionally sized LCMS congregation, about 300 members and a community of about 7,000 people. And it took me quite a while to figure out, well, how can I take these things that work so well in Fort Wayne and have them also be a blessing here in York? And again, I wanted to maybe share some more later on about that. But I saw kind of an appreciation from people when they were being very actively listened to, when they were being communicated with very, very carefully. And then even though, you know, some churches get more new members than others or more visitors than others, I found that our visitors and our new members particularly benefited from this kind of deliberate communication and teaching. And so one of the things that really blessed me when I was a pastor was the Revitality offerings from the Office of National Mission. And Mark Wood, Reverend Dr. Mark Wood, was the one who had put a lot of that together. He and I had some wonderful conversations early on in my ministry setting. And by applying some of the things that we'll be discussing this season, I was able to see a really wonderful fruit produced in the way people got involved with things, in the way we reached out to people that were maybe on the outskirts of the congregation, in the way that we planned for the future together. And it gave us a real wonderful optimism.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I especially appreciate the attention to teaching and catechesis as a part of this. So when we talk about communication with our members, that a lot of that takes place in how we teach them. What is it that we're teaching them? The goals of that teaching. For a pastor who, or other leaders in a congregation who may not know where their congregation has strengths and weaknesses, is there something out there that they can utilize, a tool perhaps that can help them assess where their congregation is?
Yeah, there really is a wonderful tool that we've developed here at ONM. It's called CADS, C-A-D-D-S. It stands for the Congregational Assessment of Development Decline Status, and essentially it's a congregational self-study. So it has been developed using 95 questions that have a scientific backing to them. It measures three critical elements of congregational well-being. And what I love is when the congregation goes through this exercise, they get a one-sheet kind of graphical interface that gives a snapshot of how are we doing right now? Like how well are we actually? And there's three different sort of planes of measurement that come into play. So we have the vitality arc, which looks like a big rainbow on the paper. And it shows which stage of vitality a congregation is in. Notice we're assuming a vitality. Every congregation has vitality, but not everybody's in the same stage of vitality. It's not a life cycle. Life cycle assumes a congregation is born and dies like a human would. And we are certainly focusing on congregations finding and maintaining a healthy state in perpetuity. There's also the revitalization plane, which looks like a big axis, vertical and horizontal. The vertical represents a congregation's sustainability, so do we have the resources to do what we'd like to do? And the horizontal represents a congregation's adaptability. In other words, do we have the ability and willingness to adapt to be effective in our ministry environment? And then finally, just a horizontal line with a dot somewhere on that line is the focus continuum. And that displays the degree to which a congregation is oriented outwardly or inwardly. One thing that I've sort of come to appreciate is you really don't want to be at the very tippy-top peak of this. You want to be on the upswing. I think a lot of congregations that feel like they're doing well are probably at the very tippy-top, which means there's going to be some decline coming in the future. And so by going through the process of revitalization, by going through CADS, just kind of like a health wellness checkup, the congregation can go, okay, now we can focus on this thing, and that might actually produce some fruit where otherwise we were coming to the end of what I would call a really healthy, good cycle. And a note for pastors, and again, I was a pastor for many, many years, and this resonated with me. The CADS survey does not measure pastoral effectiveness. So the process is meant to support a very healthy pastor-congregation dynamic. It's meant to foster teamwork. And we feel that this tool is especially helpful as a first step toward pastors and congregations being well together.
Yeah, that's a really good disclaimer there at the end, because I could see a lot of pastors maybe putting up some warnings and saying, you know, this maybe not the best thing to do to assess our health of a congregation and the health of a pastor and all those different pieces. What is the role of the pastor then? If this is not a tool for assessing pastoral effectiveness, what is the role then of the pastor through this process?
That's a really good clarifying question. So really, the congregation is the one that's driving this because they're the ones giving their input. And it can be for members. It can also be for people who maybe aren't members, but they're very active. So I'm thinking like a church with a school, people who have their kids in the school, but maybe aren't members yet, or you know, they're members elsewhere. They could also give some really good input. And then you have the pastor who's sort of working hand in hand with his district, working hand in hand with the Office of National Mission. And they are working to figure out how can we bring more vitality to a church that's already God's people, already being served with his word and his sacraments. But we want to be more effective in touching our community with the love of Jesus. We want to be more effective with knowing how to drive our meetings that we have during the month. We want everything to be a little bit more productive. We want to be more intentional with people who visit our congregation. How can we love them and make them feel welcomed? And so this doesn't shine a spotlight on the pastor and say, is he doing a good job or not? It's really a wonderful help to him to show his congregation that there's a bright future ahead for what we're doing together.
Yeah. So how long does this process take for a congregation, and what do they do at the end? What do they do with the results that are provided?
So it really depends on how long it takes the particular congregation to turn in their survey results. If we're talking about a smaller group of people, their turnaround could be pretty quick. I saw recently a church had hundreds of people who were involved, and it can be hard to get hundreds of moving parts going quickly. So it really does vary, but the results are returned quite soon after they are compiled. And then the church has an opportunity to go through their results. They can certainly reach out to the Office of National Mission for help going through those results. In many districts, the mission executive does a really wonderful job of going through that with them. One of the guests we have coming up this week is Derek Mathers. He's the mission executive of the English district, and he is very active with congregations in his district who are going through CADS, helps them understand how their results can be a blessing for the future. And then after that, we have a whole variety of workshop topics that they can go into, and it'll tell you, you know, one of our growth areas is in actives ministry, and we have a workshop for that. We sort of struggle with reaching out to our community in meaningful ways. There's a module for that. We really need to plan for the future. And that's where I think a lot of churches will find themselves. And again, there's a resource for that is available free of charge from the Office of National Mission.
Yeah. So is this assessment a one and done assessment? Or is it possible that congregations might change and benefit from taking this over again?
I believe, although it can be used once very effectively, for it to be the most effective blessing for a congregation, it should be taken regularly. So I would recommend a congregation consider taking it once every 3 years. Again, it's really not a lot of work to complete it. And then let's say you took it and you did some very intentional community outreach, and then you feel very, very good about the results of that. If you take it again in 3 years, you may find that that area is no longer a growth area. It's a strength area. But there's another area that maybe fell through while you were going through that. Or maybe the first time you took it, there were three areas that needed growth, and one of them wasn't really addressed by the thing that the congregation worked on together. So I would say taking it every, two or three years would probably be a blessing, kind of like going to the doctor regularly.
Yeah. Yeah. So this kind of sounds expensive. What's the cost, and where could a congregation find this?
It does sound expensive because it really is a wonderful and sophisticated tool. But if a congregation reaches out to the Office of National Mission, it's available free of charge.
Wow.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a cost of time and effort on the part of the church, but not a financial cost.
Yeah. Yeah. So reaching out to you or to the Church Information Center here at the International Center, is that the best way to begin the process?
Yeah, it absolutely is. If the listeners know somebody here at the Office of National Mission or the International Center, they can always reach out to them. But I'd be happy to be the point of contact for anybody that's interested.
Yeah, and I suspect a link and contact information will be in the episode notes for you to have easy access to this as well. So let's talk about the rest of the season. We're going to go through some of the modules. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And there's an awful lot to talk about. I'm excited.
Yeah. It's hard to squeeze everything into just a few short minutes, which is why we're doing an entire season. But even then, it's hard to fit everything in.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So some of these things may sound more familiar than others, but I have found, both through my experience in the parish and also my experience here at the Office of National Mission, that they all work together really well. I sometimes make a joke that it's kind of like a Marvel Cinematic Universe where one movie feeds into another movie, and it really is quite clever. So one of the things we're going to discuss this season is Everyone His Witness, which again is maybe a workshop that people have heard of before. This is Lutheran evangelism, and we're going to be bringing on Reverend Dr. Mark Wood, who created Everyone His Witness, to speak more about it. Everyone His Witness has a couple of really neat tools that I've appreciated. One is the LASSI tool. So again, we're talking about engaging people in our communities. And we have a wonderful distinction, and we'll make this in more detail in the future. But there's an outreach that we do as individuals, and there's an outreach that we do as a congregation. And the one that we do as individuals, we actually refer to as witness or evangelism. And so as we're talking to people, maybe it's a cashier at the grocery store you like to go to, or your barista, or a coworker, or maybe it's a family member. We talk about listening, asking questions to listen more, seeking points of contact with people, sharing the story of Jesus. And if my story is a blessing, then I might share that too, but really focusing on Christ and what he's done for me and for that person, inviting them. Obviously, ideally, we'd want to invite them to church, but that may not be the best point for them at this point. So maybe we invite them to a meal that we're having at our church, or a picnic, or a splash pad event, thinking of my last ministry. And that could be a wonderful entry point. We call those side doors into the church. And then encouraging, just being an encouragement and letting the Holy Spirit do his work of changing hearts and minds. And we call that Lassie, which probably brings to mind the dog from the
yeah,
TV
sure
show.
Does.
But it's also a nice acronym for remembering this sort of, we call it an iterative process, because it's not like you start with point one and go to point five. You really do what's best in that situation. And then there's recognizing the hearts and the heads and the hands of people. So, Michael, you work with disaster relief. I'm guessing you're pretty good with your hands.
Yeah, I am. And a lot of people I work with love using their hands.
I bet they do. And so as you're talking to people whose, their passion is helping in sort of a physical way, there's a whole section in Everyone Is Witness that says there's a way to encourage somebody with that kind of mentality. There's a way to encourage somebody who's very cerebral about their faith. There's a way to encourage somebody who feels their faith very deeply. And so everyone who's witnessed does a really good job of unpacking all of that. And then there's just a bunch of context modules. So let's say you have a lot of Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses in your community. Let's say your congregation has a lot of adult children of the congregation that just aren't as connected as they once were. There's context modules for just about all of that that can help people tap into the thing that is kind of closest to their heart at the time.
So. Yeah, sounds wonderful. And I look forward to hearing a lot more about that. There's more that you guys have in the Office of National Mission and Discipleship and Evangelism Outreach. There's resources for congregations who are seeking to plan strategically for the future. So not necessarily what we're going to do the next couple of Sundays in church, but maybe 1 year out or 3 years out. Talk about what resource we have available here.
Yeah, so I'm actually really excited about this one. Back in, I think it was 2017, I got a phone call from Mark Wood, and he said, you know, we're putting together this really incredible strategic planning workshop, serving in God's mission, and I'd really love for a church to beta test this for us. You know, try it out. Maybe there'll be some bugs, maybe there won't. See how effective it is. And so my congregation in Nebraska worked with him on this, and we found it to be a wonderful exercise. I had followed a couple of amazing pastors, two pastors in 50 years at this congregation.
That's a good time.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Yes. And then they had a pastor that came in, and he wasn't there quite as long, and it wasn't as good of a fit. And so when I got there, it felt a bit like a restart for that congregation. And so we thought, what a wonderful opportunity to plan for the future together, being mindful of the past, but not dwelling on the past. And it took us about a year to go through it. It doesn't need to. It's 9 sessions, so you could, you know, conceivably get through it in 6 to 9 months. But we took our time, and we ended up going into our constitution and our bylaws and the way we run our meetings. And it gave us a lot of optimism and a lot of excitement for the future. It focuses on consensus-based strategic planning. So instead of bringing in an outside expert, the congregation works with their pastor and with what's called a self-directed module. It's got videos and a leader's guide. And they are really prayerfully setting the course for the future, their own future. And I think that's pretty wonderful. It helps them put together core values, a purpose statement, a mission statement, vision statements with an S, which I think is significant, plural vision statements, and then to set some SMART goals for the future, things that we can actually, you know, kind of wrap our brains around and put our hands to in the near future. And there are a lot of strategic planning options out there for people. Many of them have an expensive cost. This one is free of charge from the Office of National Mission. And a lot of them do focus on sort of an outside consultant or expert. And this one really has the congregation, again, prayerfully going through this for themselves.
Yeah, and I'm sure that reduces the overhead and the cost associated with this one as well.
Absolutely. It's just it's a cost of time.
Yeah, yeah. So witness is generally paired with outreach. We put those two, I guess, on the opposite sides of the same coin. Talk about outreach and what do we have here?
Absolutely. So I had mentioned that there's kind of our individual efforts and there's the collective efforts of the congregation. So when you're thinking about how do I share my love of Christ with other people, that's greatly amplified when the congregation is working together. And if you're a member of a congregation, you know your church is already doing a lot of things to bless the community that they're in. You may also be in a situation where you feel like you're doing a lot at your church and maybe not making the community impact that you would hope for. And so we have a meaningful outreach, a Connect to Disciple workshop that people can look into. And it helps them make very deliberate outreach pathways into the community. So I talked about the side doors of the church, the front door of the church. Obviously, when people come in for worship or they come on Sunday morning to the Bible study, we'd call that the front door to the church. But sometimes people go to a trunk or treat or a living nativity or, like I mentioned, a splash pad event at the park, and they eat some fried chicken or pizza and they hear a prayer and they hear a little bit about this church and they get some information about this church. This module, this Connect to Disciple module, is meant to help churches become more deliberate in the way they attract people to the, what the congregation is doing, but also the way they follow up with people. I'll just tell a quick story from the parish. So when we first got to Minot, North Dakota, my most recent congregational setting, we wanted to do a trunk or treat. There really wasn't a whole lot of trunk or treats going on in the community. And so we sort of tried it out. And we had hundreds of people show up, far more than we expected, which was wonderful. And we felt very good about ourselves. And then we realized that we had taken no information from anybody that came. All we had really accomplished was handing out candy and sowing some goodwill in the community. And so the next year, we added a component of getting some information from people that we could follow up on. And that really increased the amount of actual outreach that was taking place. You know, giving people candy isn't really outreach, but it can be if it has this component of making some relationships and building some connections. And of course, the end goal is word and sacrament ministry. We want to get people worshiping. We want to get them into Bible studies where they're learning the word of God together. We want them to be baptized and to receive the body and blood of our Lord. And so there's this really great line. We want to bring the means of grace to people, and we want to bring people to the means of grace. And so as we do outreach in our community, our ultimate goal is that they would have that intimate relationship with Christ where they are hearing his word and receiving his sacrament.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I suspect that there are a lot of listeners here, whether they're pastors or laity, who have in their congregations a number of members who they haven't seen in a while. I know from my time in the parish, this was not uncommon. But one of the things that we didn't want to do was simply to send a little note that says, hey, church is on, you know, Sundays at 10. If we don't see you in the next month, then we'll have to remove you from our rolls, right? That's not the goal, objective, or really any kind of tactical means for addressing this situation. What is there something out there for congregations and pastors who find themselves in this setting?
Yeah, I'm so grateful to say that there is. Another story from my parish setting. The pastor that served before me at my last parish had an indiscretion, and so there were quite a few people that were hurt and not present when I arrived. And those who were present but maybe had feelings about what had happened, I was able to minister to. But there were all these other people I didn't even know. I saw their names on our membership roster, but these were people I'd never talked to. And sometimes, even working with my elders, there was just too much disconnect for us to reach out to them. And so we would have really benefited from Shepherding Our Strays, which is another module offered by the Office of National Mission. And it really is an effort to reconnect members with the congregation. Shepherding Our Strays kind of puts our members into four categories using sort of that shepherd and sheep imagery. So you have people that it calls safe, and these would be the people you're seeing on Sunday morning. You have a good relationship with them. That doesn't mean that tragedies don't happen in these dear people's lives, but you're there for them. You're there with them. And I'm thinking as the pastor, of course, right now. Then you have the people that are at risk. And these are people that maybe have declined in their attendance. Maybe they used to go to Bible study and they don't anymore. They used to serve in the church and they just don't do that anymore. And so we would call them at risk. Then you have straying people. And these are people that maybe you haven't seen all summer. You know, sports have changed in our culture, and so it's not uncommon for people to get really active over the summer and sort of come back to church in the fall. And we were always trying to very deliberately encourage people to worship throughout the summer. You know, those ball games, you can be there by 2 o'clock in the afternoon and still have worship that morning on Sunday. And so we were always trying to encourage that. That would be the straying, and then the strayed would be those folks you haven't seen in a long time. Or if you're a new pastor, you don't even know these people. And you know, if they're not homebound or they're not in the hospital, it could be years before you actually interact with these folks. So Shepherding Our Strays encourages the development of a care team, C-A-R-E, and that stands for concern, attention, re-engagement, and encouragement. And remember, encouragement was part of LASSI as well. And we're trying to show people that we love them and that we want to worship alongside them. And as a pastor, sometimes that's enough. If somebody is looked in the eye and told, we'd love to see you again, then they're back and it's all great. Sometimes it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah.
So having something deliberate like this, it's a 6-session workshop. And at the end of that, you've got all the tools that you need to carry out this work in your congregation. because as you had sort of mentioned earlier, there's a lot of ways to maybe hurt feelings unintentionally when it comes to inactive members. You know, they may still very much feel that they are Christians and they are Lutherans and they are part of your church. And so if they get the impression that they're being scolded or they're being told they aren't very good Christians, it can cause more harm than good.
Yeah.
And so this is a wonderful way to be deliberate in caring for them.
Yeah. So the goal is not to shame them, but to restore them into the fold as fellow brothers and sisters receiving the good gifts together on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
There's one more module that you guys are going to be talking about through the rest of the season, and that's incorporating members, right? Members of one body. Can you talk about this for a little bit? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I absolutely can. Incorporate is such a great word because when you break it down, it means to make something part of the corpus, the body. And so incorporating members, we want to, the easiest way for me to describe it is we want to get people from a mindset of, I go to church at, you know, we'll just say Trinity Lutheran Church. That's the one I grew up in. To, I am an important part of Trinity Lutheran Church's future. You know, it's not saying God can't take care of his church without me. It's saying I have a wonderful place in this congregation and I know I'm a blessing to my community through this church. And so members of one body encourages developing an AIM team. Now, if this sounds a little bit like shepherding our strays, it is built a little bit like shepherding our strays. Instead of a care team, you have an AIM team, which stands for assimilation and incorporation of members. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to be very intentional in listening to your members, engaging your members, making sure they have very easy paths towards fun events, service events, which I always thought were kind of fun, Bible studies. Sometimes people want to go to the pastor Bible study, but a lot of churches also have smaller groups that meet together or a women's group or a men's group, encouraging them to come to one of those. Sometimes it's easier to go to the men's 6:30 a.m. coffee than it is to go on Sunday morning, and we appreciate that. So incorporating members is trying to get everybody in the congregation to see that they are an important part of the body of Christ. And I think it will accomplish that very well. I will say this one's still being developed. And so we are hoping to beta test it in the near future. And it should be ready to go, in, I would say, in the very near future for congregations all over the United States.
Well, good. It sounds like there's a wonderful breadth of opportunities here in various stages for congregations. More on the way. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you if there's anything else coming along here, anything else that maybe we've missed that we really need to talk about in our time today?
Well, I just want to remind the listener that all of these modules, these workshops that we've been talking about, these materials are self-directed, meaning the congregation and the pastor are able to do these without some outside consultant coming in, which means your timeline is your timeline. You don't have to rely on anybody else's. They are also financially free of charge. With the exception of Everyone is Witness, there is a slight charge for the materials. The content itself is self-directed and free of charge. So we're very excited about that. There are wonderful things happening in the area of discipleship, making a lot of great connections with the districts, learning a lot from the districts, as I'd mentioned before, working alongside the seminaries and getting excited about future pastors who are interested in revitalization and congregational well-being. And so I see a lot of exciting things coming in the future.
Yeah, exciting is a good word for it. And I'm looking forward to hearing your conversation with these brother pastors in the next few episodes here who have led congregations through these exact modules to talk about the content, of course, but then the value and the benefits and all those wonderful things that came about as a result of going through these materials.
You heard some of my excitement when I talked about being part of the beta testing of serving in God's mission. And each of these guests that are coming on this season have experienced that same thing. And they've seen wonderful fruit produced. And I'm just so excited to talk to all of them.
Absolutely. Well, that concludes our time here today. I appreciate you listening. This has been God's Mission Here. I'm Pastor Michael Meyer with Reverend Dr. Heath Trampy.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how He delivers those gifts where you live and serve.